Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It is me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we're your friendly neighborhood Clippers podcast. Just a couple of best friends and Clipper credential media folks who bring you Locked On Clippers 5 days a week.
Comes out at 7 a.m. Come hang early in the morning. It's a fun time most of the
time. That's right. Monday through Friday. Yeah, it's mostly a fun time. Anyways, we got a heck of a show lined up for you today. We're going to kick things off talking about the weekend recap. Clippers got a couple of dubs over the Rockets and then the Pistons the night that we're recording this. So we're going to talk about what we liked from those games, as well as what we didn't like. Give you a brief little recap of those. And then it's the freshies. Every single Monday, we talk about sort of the fresh guys, the squad, what's new. But this time, we're going to be talking a lot about the Pat Bev injury and sort of the implications surrounding that, both for the rest of the roster and what that kind of will mean going forward. And then, as always, we've got a Luke Kennard progress report for you.
Yeah.
My man got a couple of starts since we last spoke here on Locked On Clips. So we're going to talk about that. And then in shavings, we're going to talk more injury stuff. We're going to talk about Serge Ibaka. And then the Clippers have signed Yogi Ferrell to a 10-day contract. So we're going to talk about that as well as, you know, what's going to happen with Boogie. So all that and more coming up right about now. But first, got to let you know, today's show is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com. And tell them Locked On.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right. Welcome to the Clippers weekend recap. Pretty fun weekend for the Clips. They got two wins. The win over the Rockets was an interesting one. They won 126-109. No Paul George, but the Clippers did have a 41-4 run in the second quarter. They kind of pulled this one out. This one was weird to start. Kawhi had 31 points. He also had a poster. Reggie had maybe his best offensive game as a Clipper with 26 points. Man had 9 assists. I don't know. This was a weird run. Like kind
Batum
of
had one of his game. Biggest had one of his biggest games since I think we played the Nets.
Oh yeah, good call.
He had 17 points. So yeah, it was a good one kind of all around there. As far as your like weird games go with a bunch of with some guys out for rest, you know. They put it together and really pulled away late. So, yeah, I mean, this was a pretty good win. Once again, it's like both these wins over this weekend are, I mean, they're not necessarily make or break games, but I like that we're still putting them away.
Yes, last year and maybe at the beginning of this season, games like this, we split the weekend for sure. Mm-hmm. And then it comes back to bite you in the ass like in terms of how tight the seating is in the Western Conference for sure. But moving on to the game that was tonight, the Clippers dispatched of the Detroit Pistons in what was maybe a game that was a little harder than we wanted it to be, but they ended up winning 131-124. No Kawhi Leonard in this one for rest. No Patrick Beverley because, again, the hand injury that was announced before the Rockets game. No Serge Ibaka. And for the Pistons, no Jerami Grant. Which I thought was kind of interesting. They must have wanted to get the tank going.
Second night of a back-to-back, yeah.
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 Got to lose those games where you can if you're the Pistons. but yeah, Paul George had his third 30-point performance in a row. He had 32 points, three boards, 9 assists. Not a good night from deep, but he was doing his thing. He was being aggressive, which was good to see. And we also battled back really well in this one.
Yeah, he also had a huge dunk.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. We had another poster again. That one was nasty. And he actually celebrated, so there'll be highlights of this one.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. we battled back in this one. We trailed for, a fairly significant portion of this game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were able to kind of play some defense down the stretch.
It was just the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it was just the fourth quarter. Like, really the last, I mean, like, just the latter third of that quarter even. But you know, we did some other things well. We had a season high in assists. We had 35. Zoo has a new career high in assists. He had 7 in this game, which is just whoa.
It was nice to see. He was making some great reads out of the short roll. And you've talked about it on this pod before, how like last year we all heard about Zoo's passing a lot, it felt like, but he was never either given the opportunity or the system wasn't in place or just wasn't there developmentally to show it off. And this year he's really much shown it off.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's looked a lot stronger. Marcus Morris also had a season high at 35. He was just absolutely on fire from deep. Batum had another strong performance. He had 14, 9, and 3, but the thing I love is he also had 3 blocks. He led the game in blocks in this one, which is, hey, you love to see.
And we needed it was the other thing. Ty Lue talked about in the postgame how Batum's defense kind of changed things in the fourth quarter, and I think that's totally true. Like, there was a sequence where the Clippers tied it up where I think it was a Batum block, and then, you know, we came out in transition and Terrence Mann hit a three, and it just felt like the team kind of was like, oh, okay, we gotta step it up in this one. Second half, Rondo was good. First half, little rusty still, but he hit some much-needed threes. And the second, he had 6 assists too, so he was doing what you want him to do. But no, I think battling back is probably the biggest highlight. I think this is a game that, I mean, we were texting during it. We're like, oh, this kind of sucks so far. But the Clips managed to turn it around. What didn't we like in this game?
I mean, the biggest thing was turnovers, right? Like, I think we've ended shooting 63% from the field, just under. At one point, we were shooting something like 71% and did not have a significant lead. And the
big we were down thing,
10. Yeah. The huge thing was turnovers. We gave up 17 turnovers in this game for a total of 28 points. I mean,
it's insane.
They scored on nearly every single turnover opportunity. So that was absolutely brutal. And then, I mean, we alluded to it earlier, but the defense just, I mean, it was not here. I saw you put a note in here about starting slow. And I think, like, defensively, like, that was the slowest start to me. Like, it didn't start for 43 minutes.
100%. We weren't doing, and there was this weird combination of, like, we weren't really doing anything to slow the Pistons down, and they were hitting objectively, quote unquote, bad shots. Like, they were hitting some shots where they just had no business going in.
Also had like a lot of decently open threes though.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, it was the worst combination for the Clippers. Like, Sadiq Bey went 5 of 8 from three. Wayne Ellington went 5 of 7. We talked about in the pregame how we were going to lose this game if we were sloppy and the Pistons shots were falling. And that's pretty much what happened until the Clippers kind of decided to step on the gas on this one. PG still not getting a whistle, which is insane.
Yeah.
It's getting to be absurd levels. It might be conspiracy theory levels at this point. but yeah, like, games like this with the Rockets and the Pistons, just on a whole, like, you know, you need guys like Mook to have 33 to win some of these nights when Kawhi is out and things start slow. You need Batum to be perfect from three. It's nice these things are happening, and I like that they're happening now because it feels like this is maybe the best the Clippers have looked, I mean, in a pretty long time, you know, in terms of this season. Like, this is the best I think they've looked right now.
Yeah, I mean, 5-game win streak. I believe that's the longest in the NBA right now.
Maybe until another Western Conference team goes on an insane tear. And, you know, 7-2 on the homestand. It's not a bad way to end things. We got this weird little 3-game road trip. How are you feeling after this weekend?
Feeling good. This weekend wasn't anything hugely to affirm or disaffirm, like, anything that I've thought about this team, you know?
For sure.
The biggest takeaway is probably still the Patrick Beverley coming out of that Suns game. Likely not being with the team until the playoffs, and then we'll see what happens then. So,
yeah.
Good weekend. I mean, good, you know, good way to put to end the homestand and put away some games. But I mean, I didn't see anything new that from
nothing
this team
shocked
that
you
that I'm like, yes, this is like the corner turn moment for the Clippers. So
yeah, 100%. Got to take care of the wins that you got to take care of coming up. We're gonna be talking the freshies and doing the Luke Kennard progress report. We got to talk the Pat Bev injury. But first we have to give a shout out to Indeed. If you're the hiring expert for your company and what you really need is help making your short list of quality candidates, you need a hiring partner who makes your life easier. You need Indeed. Indeed is the job site that makes hiring as easy as 1, 2, 3. Post, screen, and interview all on Indeed. Get your quality short list of candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description faster. Only pay for the candidates that meet must-have qualifications and schedule and complete video interviews in your Indeed dashboard. Indeed makes connecting with and hiring the right talent fast and easy with tools like Indeed Instant Match, giving you quality candidates whose resume on Indeed fits your job description immediately, and Indeed Skills Tests that on average reduce hiring time by 27%. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers four times more hires than all other job sites combined. If you're hiring, you need Indeed. You can get started right now with a free $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/locked. Again, get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/locked. Indeed.com/locked, offer valid through June 30th. Terms and conditions apply. And now, Will, talk to me about something I could hire to make my protein higher.
If you want to make your protein higher, you got to check out Built Bar. We've talked about it a long time, but the new and improved Built Bar is even more delicious than before. It comes in 18 amazing flavors, including nut and non-nut flavors for those with allergies. The six new flavors include caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. Look, the bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew, but the great thing is that they're healthy. Built Bars are great for the health conscious person. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, so they're great for the keto diet. And right now, we have a very special offer for our listeners. You can get a free cooler with purchase while supplies last, perfect for summer. This will only last for a limited time, so make sure and get on this. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com.
All right, we're all Built Barred up, and now we are talking, I think like you said, maybe the biggest news of the Clippers weekend, the Patrick Beverley injury. Mm-hmm. It was announced before the Rockets game that he has a fracture in his hand and he was going to be reevaluated in 3 to 4 weeks.
Underwent surgery.
Yes. We got some sore stuff from Farbod. He was reporting that there's not as much swelling as I thought, and there's optimism he could beat the usual timeline for recovery. Hot take. How about we just put him on the regular timeline for recovery? How about we don't do any rushing back? How about he's reevaluated in 3 to 4 weeks, right?
Like, we have a player
that crazy.
We have a player who has been out for over a month with back soreness. So yeah. I don't know what regular recovery timelines are for this team.
That's honestly a very good point.
But I mean, how we're feeling about this. It's awful. I mean, like it's perfect bad. Word. It's bad. But is there something to be said about Reggie already having been in the starting lineup for this long and the team performing as well as it has been? Maybe you just do stick with that. I don't know.
Right off top, it's brutal luck for Patrick Beverley. It happened on a rebound in the Suns game, a pretty inconsequential looking play. He reaches for a board, and then he kind of winces. He grabs his hand. He keeps playing.
It wasn't on the Chris Paul face.
No, someone was trying to tweet at us like it was, and it was like, please calm down.
That actually made it stronger.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Reggie has played so well for the Clippers this season. It's been, we weren't too hyped on the re-signing, but it's been one of the more important re-signings. Him and Batum have basically battled out to see who's going to be the most valuable minimum contract you can possibly have on a team, which is awesome. Ty Lue talked about how Reggie's the starter for the foreseeable future, and I'm totally fine with it. It's really funny that in 2021, Clippers fans are totally fine with the fact that Reggie Jackson is going to be the starting point guard for the foreseeable future, but he's helping run the best half-court offense per 100 in history. Like, it's a really weird situation, but it gives us the luxury of letting Bev get totally, totally healthy.
Yeah, absolutely. And, we'll miss his defense. I don't know, man. The thing is I think that this is worrisome for the playoffs, and it's yet another year.
Absolutely.
It's yet another year where we'll likely go into a playoffs without a fully healthy Patrick Beverley. And, I'm sure that there was probably some interest in moving him at the trade deadline from the organization, but due to the injury and the age and the contract, there's just not a lot of takers out there to get any sort of like positive return.
Yeah, for sure.
But I do, I would certainly think that this makes his tenure with the Clippers a little bit more tenuous.
Yes, it will be very interesting to see what happens next year. Because the availability just isn't there. It's horrible luck, but it's just not there. This is every year.
Well, and this is kind of the thing that we were talking about. I mean, before he had even come back from the knee soreness, that, you know, you got to try to, at the deadline, get some sort of stopgap there or some sort of insurance policy.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that was the biggest reason why you and I weren't that big of fans of the Rondo signing initially, is that, I mean, you have another old guard with his own kind of injury concerns.
Right.
And you know, like, while certainly the high upside is there, you haven't given yourself any sort of insurance or any sort of cushioning if one, or, you know, worst case scenario, more than one guard is injured.
Yeah, and the Yogi Ferrell signing, which we're going to talk about more in the next segment, but that seems to be a very, like, an emergency 10-day, right? Like,
oh, definitely.
Which
definitely.
Which is very much needed. You know, like, everyone was like, well, we signed Malik Fitz. It's like, that's fine, but Malik Fitz, Yogi Ferrell's a, for sure, an NBA player on some level, whereas Malik Fitz is not a guard and a little more of a, you know, experiment's kind of a weird word, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, and, you know, there are some dominoes that fall in kind of a positive way for this. Terrence Mann played great against the Rockets, like we talked about. He came in, his energy was really good against the Pistons. He hit a couple of clutch threes, which are now just kind of routine for him, which is a great development. But, yeah, this makes Rondo's role even more important, because the minutes that Rondo has are, I mean, they've been mostly good since he's been with the Clippers, for sure. There's an issue that I noticed that might rear its head, which is, it happened in the Pistons game, which is guys not rotating off of him on the perimeter, right? Like, there's an instance where he made a pass to Luke Kennard that looked like every kind of pass the Clippers have thrown, like as an extra pass, but the defender was just right in front of Luke's face because no one was worried about Rondo taking that three. You know what I mean? So, like, it takes away...
Same thing on a Morris, sort of, like, there was a Morris fourth quarter three where, the defender was so far off of Rondo that we had to get a shot up on the shot clock, and the pass to Morris was still, like, pretty heavily contested.
Yeah, and he did hit some threes, which was big, but this is just something to kind of look out for that hopefully will get worked through a little bit more now that we're kind of forced to see more, you know, different guard rotations and stuff like that. So hopefully that can get fixed and you can get in a groove and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I still think Pat Bev needs to stay at that regular timeline. There's no reason to rush him back. That's never proven successful for Patrick Beverley in any way. Which is tough. And something kind of linked to that, we were talking more guard minutes, is the Luke Kennard progress report.
Hey, favorite time of the week.
Luke had a pretty big weekend. He got two starts, which is awesome. He played okay in the Rockets game. He wasn't exactly lighting it up from deep. He went 1 of 3 overall, 1 of 2 from deep. Had 6 boards, 3 assists.
Had 3 field goal attempts, though, which is kind of...
Yeah.
I mean, like, I don't know. What do you expect him to do if he doesn't have the ball in his hands?
I want him to go 4 for 3. he played well in the Pistons game, played 23 minutes, went 5 of 6 from the floor. But, you know, this is Luke Kennard playing perfectly in his role, which is... You're going to get some spot starts and you got to be efficient. And I mean, I don't know. I don't think anyone can be too bummed on how he's reacted or played to his minutes at all in terms of what might be the most up and down year of his career. And anyone freaking out about the contract, let's just freak out next year if we have to, right? Because it doesn't kick in. So,
I mean, that's going to be, we've talked about it all sort of all season, but that's just going to be one of those kind of developing things to watch as we go, is how we choose to develop and manage this asset, especially now that, you know, at the end of the season, we'll have a significant vested financial interest in the asset. You know what I mean? So I don't know if that tilts the conversation or tilts the internal ideas for, like, schematically for how to use Luke Kennard moving forward, but
for sure
I would think that puts a little bit more pressure on it, whereas this year can honestly, like, I would,
it's like a redshirt year.
I would love to see Luke's role, like, ironed out now. I mean, like, that would be gravy on top of everything else, but
yeah,
you know, we're kind of losing nothing for this to be a feel it out year for Luke Kennard.
Good call. Yeah, there's no real pressure to get his role completely nailed down and
as
see
long
what
as we
he
can keep
really
him
do.
Healthy. Like,
yes, very good point. Knock on wood for that. Coming up, we'll be talking some more health issues, including Serge Ibaka's extended absence, which will go through the upcoming road trip. But we got to give a shout out to Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it is now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the counterman orders the parts on their computer, choosing only the brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to Rock Auto at home and in your pocket. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything you need from engine control modules and brake lights to new carpet. Truly, truly everything. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand specifications and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On and their How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Rock Auto. And now, Will, where could I don't know, bet on something involving cars if I wanted to?
The best place to bet is Bet Online. It's the only place that we trust to make your bets online. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football, long over, but the NBA and the NHL are both still in full swing. But Bet Online doesn't just cover sports, they cover awards, TV shows, and even reality TV. You can get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. Bet Online has you covered for all the new scores and odds. It's the best way to place your bet, and it's free to sign up. So head on over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus. That's on top of your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Don't forget that promo code Locked On.
Okay, welcome to the Freshies Part 2/Shavings. No Serge Ibaka for the upcoming 3-game road trip. Ty Lue said he's going to stay here and rehab in Los Angeles. 18 consecutive games missed. It will be after this road trip. What on earth is going on with Serge's back, dude?
Sore back. It's a very sore back.
I mean, I have a sore back, but
lower back tightness or whatever. What was it today?
I don't know. Today
we were something like lower back tightness.
Bakersfield getting the vaccine. We went up with a crew, and I have a sore back from that. So maybe he just got a really good COVID vaccine. Boogie also doesn't seem to be coming back on another contract, it seems. Patterson's still getting a bunch of run. And like we said, the Clippers plan on signing Yogi Ferrell later this week, which is how it was phrased in the tweet, which is kind of interesting. But, I mean, I don't know what's happening with Serge. We obviously want him to get healthy as soon as possible. But, like, what do the Clippers do here?
So, I think that the way that I'm reading their sort of actions at the deadline regarding a third center is that there's extreme confidence internally that Serge is going to be ready for the playoffs. And that is why they didn't go after someone who would be a more sound kind of a third backup person.
Than Boogie.
Yeah. I mean, the Boogie thing is, you know, it's an interesting try.
But you know, he's not even getting run against like the Pistons. Like, it just doesn't seem.
Yeah. Totally.
You know, he's an emergency guy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, he's not really familiar with what they run a lot of yet, you know, there's only so much on a 10-day, that you can really get to know for a team. So we'll see what happens with that. But I feel as though there must be some pretty strong confidence internally that Serge will be ready for a playoff run, because I think that if the option was Patterson and or, you know, Boogie or whatever, I just feel like they would have made it a higher priority to get, you know, it's like we were talking about with Pat, to get that sort of insurance player or cushion.
Yeah. And I guess I'm just really worried because, you know, we know this team's luck. It's like, what if another, it's just one of those things where I'm like, I just kind of wish they had a third center just in case. Like, it seems like not a bad just in case play.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's fair. It's a significant,
like, they'd be an emergency for sure, but
yeah. Look, if you have to play Patterson in a, you know, a playoff series, significant minutes, that's a pretty huge drop off and a pretty glaring weakness. But like I said, I think that there is supreme confidence that Serge will be back for a healthy playoff run. And also, I think it's an indication that Ty Lue is intending to go smaller and switch heavier in the playoffs.
Oh, good call. Yeah, like that. Good call. Speaking of you guys, the Clippers plan on signing Yogi Ferrell to a 10-game contract. Only appeared in two games so far this season, but for his career, he's a 36.7% three-point shooter on three attempts per game. Not really sure between Malik Fitz and Boogie Cousins who's going to be the odd man out. I would imagine it's going to be Boogie, I guess. But do we have any significant thoughts? Do you have any significant thoughts on the Yogi signing?
Look, I mean, I think that I think that it's necessary. I think that it's a decent idea to get in another look at a guard who can knock down open 3-point shots.
Yep.
And play a little D. I mean, it's just interesting, right? Because we don't have a shortage of guards.
Yeah, that's what's so weird. Like, we're in trouble, kind of, because of the, like, so, like, Bev's out. Rondo has the hip abductor. So we're, like, a couple bad breaks away from being in guard trouble, which is wild, like you said, because we have so many guards.
Yeah. It's just, like, kind of a weird situation because we have, you know, two older guards. One who is extremely injury prone and then one who has had his own injury things, but has been like relatively clear. And then you just have so many specialized tools without like maybe a super well-rounded guard.
Yes.
I guess Terrence Mann is like getting to be more well-rounded, but doesn't really have the reps. So I think certainly you would want maybe somebody with a little bit more time.
Yeah. A little more NBA experience, stuff like that. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Makes sense. Hope whoever gets done with their 10-day lands on their feet. I'm sure they will. If it's Malik Fitz, at least he's on the G League team. So that's good.
Did you see someone posted that that Fee is the most efficient Cav in history?
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, that's awesome. I forgot he got picked up. Shout out to Fee. That's awesome. Anything else in shavings?
No, I don't think so. Let's get out of here.
I think we got to get out of here. Thanks to everyone for listening. We went up to Bakersfield. It was a great time this weekend. Hope everyone gets vaxxed up. Pretty sure you can do it. It was going to be the 15th, but this week they made it so everyone can do it. So go out there, get that vaccine, get some fluids in you too. Tuesday's episode, we're going to be doing Twitter Tuesday. So get those questions into @LockedOnClips. Look out for that prompt on Twitter. Preview of the game against the Pacers. And our recap of that game later this week is going to feature Sabrina Merchant. So that's going to be a really fun time. Then, of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland. Will, where can these fantastic people tell their friends to listen to us?
You can tell your friends to listen to us on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. If you haven't subscribed, please do. It really helps us out. As we mentioned up top, we come at you Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Pacific. We'd love to have your listen.
Be a good time. Come hang early. Come listen, you know, or late. The episodes stay up. I have been positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.